And from the most recent addition to the Nash Holos Music Library, that was Andriana with a song from her brand new CD, Songs from Home, and that was called Zabuta Dorizhenka, Forgotten Road, a song about a young girl who meets a charming soldier who promises to return and marry her. And the question is, will he return? Andriana from her CD, Pisni z Domu, Songs from Home, and Zabuta Dorizhenka, Forgotten Road. Dobrý večer, šanovní rádio sluchači, ta vítají vás všich na rádiu передачу Náš holos, rádio našeho Koriňa, která podається vám, jak zvyčajno, što soboty o 6 hodiny na bahatomovní radiostanci AM 1320 CHMB u místí Vancouveri i po mereži PCJ Radio Mížnorodnému. При мікрофоні Павліна Макворі дякую, що ви були слухачами сьогодні ввечері та рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver and in international syndication on PCJ Radio International. I'm Paula Demchuk-Macquarie, Pukarinska Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We have a Ukrainian recipe, a Ukrainian Christmas recipe actually, and it's one of 12 we'll be sharing from the Nash Holos Audio Archives this Christmas season in this and the Nanaimo editions of the show through to January 5th. We've also got a Ukrainian Jewish heritage and an interview with Alison Ziven of the Felstein Society and Karen Gershon of Project Kesher, both in New York City, and we'll be speaking about the work they're doing together in Ukraine. As well, we've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And this is the last program of the year that is not going to be Christmas programming. So we're going to really kick up our heels, and I might sneak in a little pre-Christmas tune here and there. But for the most part, strap on those dancing boots. It is going to be an hour of great dance music. So coming up next, Ukrainia from Ottawa, and a song about that wise guy, Yarema.
Оце я родився літком на зорі, мудрі були люди, родичі мої, куми в нас кликали, церкву отвели, ім'я Ярема мені надали. Гей! Оце я, Ярема, оце ухака, оце я, Ярема, мудра голова, оце я, Ярема, оце ухака, оце я, Ярема, мудра голова. Підростати, до школи ходити, став мені учитель так і говорити. Ой, тобі я Римо, мудра голова, одна біда тільки, олію нема. Оце я, Ярема, оце ухака, оце я, Ярема, мудра голова. Оце я, Ярема, оце ухака, оце я, Ярема, мудра голова. Підростати паруком став, оженися, сину, тато мій казав. Взяв я собі жінку, як мій з калачем, за два тижні тікла вона з паличем. Оце я, Ярема, оце ухака, оце я, Ярема, мудра голова. Оце я, Ярема, оце ухака, оце я, Ярема, мудра голова. Так і промовляти, ой, тобі Яремо, мудра голова, одна біда тільки, вже життя нема.
Оце я, Ярема, оце ухака, оце я, Ярема, мудра голова, оце я, Ярема, оце
Canada's National Ukrainian Festival in Dauphin, Manitoba offers the very best in Ukrainian culture, music, food, and dancing August-long weekend. Right now, your early bird weekend pass is only $90 and includes all of the on-site attractions. It's a perfect stocking stuffer. Day passes and camping passes are also available. Don't miss Canada's National Ukrainian Festival in Dauphin, Manitoba, August 2nd to 4th. Order your tickets and more info at cnuf.ca.
And up next, Prairie Crocus, also from Winnipeg, from their CD Back Up and Push. And you're going to need to grab another couple because you'll be doing the Highland Shotties. Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Up next, from the «Наш голос» Audio Archives, Ukrainian Food Flair.
Hello! Tiny stuffed dumplings can be found in many different cuisines. Italians call their pasta tortellini, and the Chinese have their own wonton. Ukrainian vushka, which means little ear dumplings, are served in clear broth and specifically with borscht at Christmas Eve. There is no substitute for them. The dough is a light, soft dough. Use your own favorite vareniki or pierogi dough, or try mine. The filling is traditionally a mixture of wild mushrooms and onion. Now for the recipe. 2 cups flour, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 egg yolk, 1/2 cup whole milk, 1 teaspoon oil or melted butter. Combine the flour and salt, add milk, egg, yolk, and oil. Mix well. Let stand or rest for 5 minutes. Then knead for 5 minutes. Cover and set aside for 15 minutes. On a floured surface, roll out 1/3 of the dough into a rectangle 1/4 inch thick. Make sure the dough is even in thickness when rolling. Flip dough over, flour again, and with a sharp knife, cut into 1.5 inch squares. Place a teaspoon of mushroom filling in each square, being careful not to smear edges. Fold diagonally to make a triangle. Make sure the dough is bonded or the stuffing will boil out. Then make them into little ears by pinching together 2 bottom corners, leaving the top tip pointing out. Place on cookie sheets covered with towels dusted with flour. Drop 10 to 12 vushka into 6 to 8 cups of rapid boiling water and stir once with a wooden spoon. Do not cover. When they float to the top, cook 1 minute longer, then remove with a slotted spoon. Cool on a lightly oiled plate without crowding. Repeat until all are cooked. Place 4 to 5 vushka in soup plates and pour hot borscht over them. Now, here's the mushroom filling. 2 tablespoons oil, 1 onion finely chopped, 1 pound mushrooms finely chopped, 3 tablespoons breadcrumbs approximately, salt and pepper to taste, and freshly chopped dill. Saute onion in oil until tender. Add mushrooms and saute until tender. Season to taste with salt and pepper and chopped dill. Add enough breadcrumbs to bind the filling. Cool before using. Try it. You'll love it. It's Ukrainian.
This has been Ukrainian Food Flair from the Nash Holos Audio Archives. If you'd like a copy of this recipe for yourself or for a special someone else, then check out our Patreon page and sign up as a patron there. Collections of recipes as heard on Nash Holos is just one of the rewards for supporters of the show, and from now until January 5th, patrons will receive an ebook and or print copy of Ukrainian Christmas recipes. That's Patreon, spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com, and do a search for Nash Holos. Or you can get the link at our website, www.nashholos.com. Meanwhile, I'll be sharing Ukrainian Christmas recipes from our audio archives here on Nash Holos from now until January 5th, 2 different recipes a week on our Vancouver show, which airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver and in international syndication, as well as on our Nanaimo edition, which airs on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM. A link to our podcast, as well as our Patreon page, can be found at our website, www.nashholos.com. Up next is Millennia from Edmonton, from their CD Bratia, their 3rd, and a song about a girl going to pick mushrooms, and at this time of year, about the only place you'll be picking mushrooms for your vushka is in a supermarket. Here's Millennia now with Pohrebe Chodila, Went to Pick Mushrooms.
Ой, дівчина по грибі ходила, в темнім лісі знала, то ти в мене гулятьєм не звала.
А я ж у нябо нічки не спала, нічки не спала, з волею гуляла. А я ж у нябо нічки не спала, з волею гуляла.
А я маю випити горілки, хочу знати, чи із розум дівки.
А я чорнява нічки не спала, нічки не спала, з долею гуляла. А я чорнява нічки не спала, нічки не спала, з долею гуляла.
Every day, more Ukrainian soldiers are killed or wounded by Russian invaders. You can help wounded heroes by joining the Adopt-a-Soldier program of registered charity Ukraine War Amps. A small monthly donation goes very far for medical services and living expenses and creates a special bond between you and a wounded hero. 100% of your contribution goes to the soldier. Please, adopt a soldier today. Visit ukrainewaramps.ca or find us on Facebook.
And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter based in Toronto, Ontario. This is Pavlina, producer and host of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Last spring, we first spoke with Alan Bernstein, president of the Felstein Society in New York, about his organization's upcoming centenary commemoration of a horrible pogrom that took place in 1919 in a shtetl in Ukraine called Felstein, now Hvardiske. Just a few weeks ago, he told us about an amazing connection the society has made with a Catholic priest and school principal in Hvardiske who plan to take an active role in the commemorations. The Felstein Society's commemorations will be taking place in the spring of 2019, and we will hear from them again closer to the time. Meanwhile, it was Alison Ziven of the Felstein Society who initially contacted Nash Holos with information about their project. Alison is also involved with other projects pertaining to Ukrainian Jewish heritage, including work with a group called Project Kesher. Project Kesher focuses on helping Jewish women in Ukraine and other parts of the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe to regain their Jewish identity in a post-Soviet and post-Holocaust environment. Karen Gershon is executive director of Project Kesher, also headquartered in New York. Recently, both of these amazing women kindly took time out of their busy schedules to speak with us on Skype about their work. So let's start first with Alison and the Felstein Society's connection with Project Kesher. How did you two get connected up?
So one of the projects that the Felstein Society has been working on is to figure out a way to educate people about the nearly 200,000 victims of pogroms that took place across Ukraine and Belarus following the Russian Revolution. And it's obviously a huge genocide. It was what many scholars say was the seeding that enabled the Holocaust to happen, and yet it's a footnote in the Jewish history books. And with that background, we've been reaching out to rabbis at synagogues and JCCs and other organizations around the U.S. and around the world to ask them to plan commemorative events. And that's been great, but a little bit slow going because it's really a labor-intensive effort to have conversations with mm-hmm. each individual rabbi. Mm-hmm. And then I came up with the idea that there were nonprofit organizations that ran many different groups, such as Project Kesher, across what was the former Soviet Union, and thought, oh, wow, they would have outreach to many different people that could help spread this message and educate people. And I reached out to Karen at Project Kesher, and she was very enthusiastic about the idea.
So what is it that's different that you're doing then with Project Kesher that's related to the pogrom commemoration?
It's not really anything that's that different. It's just a way to both spread the word about the pogroms as well as to help educate people in the former Soviet Union about this era that was part of their Jewish heritage. And so I believe Karen is asking her group leaders over there to plan different types of commemorations, and it can be anything from reading a book about the pogroms and having a discussion about it, to showing a film, to asking people to bring in pictures of their ancestors and share stories that they've heard, to having a candlelight vigil or some other more prayer-based commemoration.
Okay. When we spoke with, Alan was explaining to me, as you just did, that it's pretty hard to get the word out to all these people. And JCCs, by the way, is Jewish Community Centers?
Correct.
Okay. So, of course, everybody's in North America, we're spread out, of course, and around the world. And in Ukraine, of course, the Jewish community is just rebuilding. And that is where Project Kesher comes in, I suppose. And Karen, maybe tell us a little bit about Project Kesher. You've got quite an extensive network that you've been building. So when did it start, and what was the catalyst?
So in the late 1980s, when the Free Soviet Jewry movement was getting very strong, one of Project Kesher's founders, Sally Gratch, a social worker from Evanston, Illinois, went to Moscow on a walk from Moscow to then Leningrad. It was a peace march, and she discovered that many of the people in the Jewish community were not openly Jewish any longer, but that they were active in the peace movement. The following year, she convinced her husband, Alan Gratch, to take a Fulbright scholarship, and they moved together to Kiev, Ukraine, so that he could teach law while she went out to look to see if there were more Jews living throughout Ukraine who would be interested in rebuilding Jewish life. And that's when we really got started. It was in the early 90s. In 1994, Sally connected with so many Jewish women in the region that she kicked off the first international conference of Jewish women in Kiev, bringing together about 200 Jewish women from around the world to meet all the Jewish women who were starting to emerge in Ukraine. Things have changed so dramatically since that time. You know, when we started there, I think people really saw Jews as a separate part of the population. People were Ukrainian and then they were Jewish.
Right.
But today, particularly since the 2014 revolution, most Jews in the region would talk about themselves as Ukrainian Jews. And I think that one of the reasons why we're so interested in this project is that I think it's so important that all of Ukrainian society reconcile with a lot of the horrors that came before in Ukrainian life.
Mm-hmm.
There were the pogroms, there was Holodomor, and of course there was the Holocaust. And I think that citizens of Ukraine as a whole have to make peace with what came before so that they can transition to being a really vibrant democracy and a pluralist and inclusive society.
Mm-hmm.
So we are thrilled to be given the opportunity to work with other organizations, both Jewish and non-Jewish, really to understand Ukraine's history so that they can move really effectively into their future.
Yes, and I'm seeing that this is very much becoming a trend. I'm speaking with a lot of people, Ukrainians who are Jewish heritage or not Jewish heritage, and that's how they feel. They are Ukrainian, whether they're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or whatever, or nothing, you know, like no religion. They are Ukrainian first, so they're creating a kind of a cohesiveness. You're doing work not just in Ukraine, but you're doing work throughout other countries. Are you having the same sort of thing going on in the other countries you're involved in?
Well, it is a particularly exciting time in Ukraine. I've been there twice in the last 4 months. And I would say that every time I go right now, it is so exhilarating because the entire country is moving towards a really vibrant democracy as fast as it can. And while there are certainly hurdles, you do see an incredible movement. You see more money starting to come through the system. You know, I was walking down the street one day and saw 20 new ambulances being prepared to go out into the territories, the different, you know, oblasts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very exciting time in Ukraine. Belarus is interesting because due to the tensions between Ukraine and Russia, Belarus has had sanctions lifted. And they're sort of serving as, I guess, what they would call an honest broker in the region. And a lot of the different issues that are being resolved are being done so on Belarusian territory. And so for the first time in ages, there's actually money filtering into Belarus. And you can see the loosening of their economy and a loosening of many of their different they're right. People are more forthcoming than they used to be, a lot more conversation. I was in Moscow about 3 weeks ago, and, you know, I think it's so important to always remember that our relationship right now between the United States and Russia that we're paying attention to is at the governmental level, and that is so dysfunctional. But at the people level, the vast majority of people in Russia, you know, their values are not all that different than ours. They're not necessarily supportive of their country. It's the country they live in. But even there, you know, I saw a lot more freedom of speech. I attended 3 women's conferences over a 4-day period. I found the women, again, more communicative, more feminist, more open to, you know, criticizing their government, but they're not doing it in a way that, you know, would be sort of a Pussy Riot type of way. Mm-hmm. They're doing it in a more methodical, behind the scenes way to try to get, for instance, legislation back in place that would criminalize domestic violence, because last year they decriminalized domestic violence, and it's had a negative ramification. So I was very pleased to see that the women I was meeting with were very focused on constructive ways to get their government to meet their needs. So I would say that overall, there were a lot of positive things in all 3 of the countries I visited recently. And while certainly Russia's role in Crimea and eastern Ukraine is devastating and unacceptable, on a people-to-people level, I find that there is a lot to be optimistic about, because there are sort of parallel movements going on in these countries.
What kind of an effect or impact would you say that your work, the empowering of women that you're doing, does it spill over into the power structures? Does it trickle up?
Well, certainly in Ukraine, I see women taking increasingly active roles. I mean, it was just maybe, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years ago, that Ukraine upgraded its domestic violence laws. They put in things like restraining orders, things that are very common in the West. And I'm seeing them hold hearings in Ukraine on these kinds of issues. And women's voices are being heard very, very strongly. On public radio, we have a show right now on Hromadsky Radio, and it's on women's health. We're finding, you know, a very good receptivity to talking very candidly about women's health in Ukraine. You know, whether it's taking place at the Verkhovna Rada stage, Verkhovna Rada, or at the Duma, you know, women's voices certainly are not being heard nearly enough yet at the governmental level. But at the local level, we're starting to see a lot more women's voices bubble up. I think the decentralization process in Ukraine bodes well in some communities for getting more women to be activists. So again, guardedly optimistic. Only time will tell if in fact all of the dreams of the revolution will be realized. But people are working very hard to get women's voices heard there.
It's interesting that we started out speaking about this being a project specifically geared at Jewish women, but you're speaking on really a much broader level. And you've got groups that work with Jewish women who are reclaiming, like Ukrainian women, I guess, who are rediscovering their Jewish roots. But you're also working on a broader level. You've got interfaith groups as well that you're working with.
Yeah, so we start in the Jewish community, and then we form interfaith coalitions with people of all different backgrounds to work on women's issues. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, really critical. I think that, you know, one of the things that I appreciate the most about the model, which I didn't create, it was created by our founder, Sally Gratz, is it's a social work model. And one of the reasons why Feldstein is such a good match for us is that, you know, we have more than 70 groups in Ukraine, and then we have all these interfaith partners. And so we will be able to bring this program not only to our initial groups, but then to share it with our interfaith partners and really look at the ramifications for society as a whole to deal with its history. So we're just so appreciative to have this content so that we can bring it out. I think it's so much more effective when nonprofits can build on each other's work. And I think it is a particularly positive thing to be able to not just do it in the Jewish community, but then to bring it to the society as a whole. And so one of the things we look at is because so many women are school teachers and social workers and involved in the community at large, is that our hope is that we will not only do these programs in faith settings, but then we will bring them into the school system, we'll bring them into the workplace, and look for opportunities where people can really talk about, you know, the history and the future.
Mm-hmm.
What we will do with Allison and the Feldstein Society is create a variety of ways that people can observe in their community individually and in groups. And then we will offer them this platform. And at the most bare minimum, our hope is that there will be 200,000 candles lit in memory of the 200,000 who died.
Mm-hmm.
And we will ask people if they do this in their home. They'll photograph it, they'll upload it, and they'll see that there are people, you know, not only throughout Ukraine, but throughout the entire region, and then globally, who care about this history and can recognize that the Holocaust was not the beginning of this tragedy. It was the natural continuation, and that we have to have a memory of the lead up to the ultimate Holocaust so that, again, we don't want to ever see it repeated in history. There are genocides going on worldwide at all times. There's a group called Jewish World Watch that wants people to understand that while the Jewish community has been very strong advocates for never again in Jewish life, that even to this day, there are other genocides going on around the world, and we have to be ever vigilant and devote the resources necessary to make sure that there isn't another population that experiences the horror of the Holocaust. But we are. We still are struggling with these issues.
It's a lifetime work, and thank you so much for sharing your story, and good luck in all your endeavors, and hope to speak with you again in the near future, Karen. And you too, Allison.
Oh, thank you so much, Paulina.
I was speaking with Allison Ziven, who works with the Feldstein Society in New York, and with Karen Gershon, Executive Director of Project Kesher. You can find out more about their organizations at their websites, feldstein.org and projectkesher.org. This is Pavlina, producer and host of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Shalom. Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, ukrainianjewishencounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Canada's National Ukrainian Festival in Dauphin, Manitoba offers the very best in Ukrainian culture, music, food, and dancing August-long weekend. Right now, your early bird weekend pass is only $90 and includes all of the on-site attractions. It's a perfect stocking stuffer. Day passes and camping passes are also available. Don't miss Canada's National Ukrainian Festival in Dauphin, Manitoba, August 2nd to 4th. Order your tickets and more info at cnuf.ca.
And that was the Svalava Kozachuk by Yale Strom, a bit of klezmer for you there. And Yale Strom is an American klezmer artist and also an aficionado of the history of klezmer. And he did a definitive biography, I'd say, of Dave Terrace, who had Ukrainian roots and went on to become called the King of Klezmer. And you can check the Nash Holos Audio Archives, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, on the website if you missed that story. Again, that was Yale Strom with Svalava Kozachuk. You've been listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, our flagship show in Vancouver, which comes to you Saturdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here on AM 1320 CHMB on the radio dial and online at am1320.com, as well in international syndication on PCJ Radio International. In between broadcasts, please visit our website for transcripts and audio files of interviews and features, information about the show, and of course, podcast links to stream or download. There's a link to our Patreon site there as well, where you'll find playlists, proverbs, and other extra features for patrons and donors. I do hope you'll engage with me there and support the show by following our page or becoming a patron. Incidentally, you can also support the show at no cost to you through the Amazon links found at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. I love to hear from you, so please send your suggestions, dedications, and requests. Your comments are always welcome. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Ще час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас якими словами мудрості. Ту людину треба поважати, яка не боїться правду сказати. And our proverb of the week translates as, "He who is not afraid to speak the truth is worthy of respect." And with that, we've come to the end of our program. So to wrap things up, we have Tutti Tam from Saskatchewan and a very long toe tapper. This is a medley of Ukrainian dance songs called simply Kasha, which means porridge or mishmash. Take your pick. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio International, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.
А я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся,
як би мені себе кінчте білі санчата, я поїхав у село, де гарні дівчата,
а я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
Чищену пару волі заставили хрести.
А я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
А я тую пару волі по солі качаю, на припічку варенички я на не погаю.
А я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся, а я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся, все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
Козаченька на скрипочці раді, обіграємо, гаємо, гаємо. сяєні, ту не сповнив віску.
А на дворі музичка грає, музичка грає, весілля гуляє. А на дворі весілля гуляє,
а мого немає. Пала зірка з неба до моєї хати, женитися треба, скільки вже чекати.
Yeah.